And good morning to you guys up here in the worship center. And good morning to you downstairs in the venue. And for those of you joining us online, welcome. We hope you have a great experience. So I already mentioned my name is Pastor Ryan Kimmel. Many of you know that, but if you don't, hopefully I get a chance to meet you soon. But I want this, I want you to know all of this. This year is a special year for me here at, for me personally. You see, this summer there's a turning point in my life coming. This summer, I turned 40. Glad somebody's happy. See, the thing about turning 40, I've come to realize as I prepare for this this turning point in my life. At 40, see, the old people think you're young, and the young people think you're old. But you know something I've come to realize? They're both right. They're both right. On the one hand, I'm too old to die young. On the other hand, I'm too young to die. On the one hand, I'm young enough to listen to my music loud, but I'm old enough to remember good music. See, the older people, they don't think I'm very funny. The younger people, they don't think that either. I'm in that weird dad stage where dad jokes are actually really funny to me. See, I'm young enough to be comfortable with technology, but I'm old enough to remember the simple days. Back when a phone was a phone attached to a wall, not a taskmaster attached to your hip. You know what I'm saying? The simple days. Doesn't everything seem a little bit more complex nowadays? You know what I mean? Don't things seem a little too confusing and complex nowadays? I'm young enough to remember when you didn't need a PhD to work a TV remote. I'm for real. Who remembers this? Oh, yeah. Okay, let's look at this for a moment. TV channels, mute, volume up, volume down, channel up, channel down, on and off, and these two things that we never really used. That was the TV remote I remember growing up. This is my actual TV remote today. Thanks, LG, for the color coding. I have no idea what these mean. Oh, it's in the directions? I'm a guy. I don't read those. What is all of this? See, it used to be just from here up. Back in the day, things were much more simple. Today, it's much more complex. Back in the day, if you wanted to get a hold of somebody, you would call, write, or stop over. Nowadays, if you want to make contact with somebody, you call, write, stop over. You can text them. You can FaceTime them. You can message them on Facebook or Instagram. You can put a comment on their blog if you want. You can also Snapchat them, except don't Snapchat me because I don't have Snapchat because I'm morally opposed to that. It's too complex nowadays. The craziness and the complexity of this world isn't something that just happened to us, is it? We let this happen. We embraced it. And now we're questioning it. And I don't just mean with our schedules and our calendars. I'd even bring it down to our faith. We've made this faith an incredibly complex thing. We add so much to the simple gospel message. I mean, we are the people that follow the guy that said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you anxiety, a busy schedule, too much you can handle." No, what did he say he would give us? Rest. He would give us rest. Today is Palm Sunday, and in the passage that we'll read today, I want you to see the simplicity that is here. Because I hope you're encouraged by it as I was encouraged by it this past week as I prepared this message. But I will warn you, simple doesn't mean easy. The passage we'll read is Luke chapter 19, verses 29 to 40. That's on page 1117. Starts there if you want to use the Bibles in the racks around you. Otherwise, you're welcome and encouraged to use the Bibles that you brought with you if you have one. For context, as you're turning there, the scene in the triumphal entry, This is the scene. This is the triumphal entry where Jesus admits an impromptu parade is entering Jerusalem for the celebration of Passover, the Jewish Passover. But even more so, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem to fulfill his mission and his ministry as being the sacrifice for our sins. Palm Sunday is the start of what's known as Holy Week. That starts today. Because as Jesus enters Jerusalem, it's Palm Sunday, they waved palms. The passage we read doesn't record that, but it's recorded elsewhere. Today marks Palm Sunday, Jesus entering Jerusalem. Monday through Thursday, Jesus will spend giving his final teachings. Thursday night will be Maundy Thursday, taken from the Latin word for mandate, as Jesus gives his final command that we should love one another, and as he celebrates his last meal. Good Friday, oddly named, Good Friday, is where Jesus is crucified for our sins. Holy Saturday is the day that Jesus' body lies dead and silent in the tomb. And then there's Easter Sunday, 1 week from today, the day that changes the course of all human history. As the Son of God, the Savior of sins, as he is physically resurrected from the dead. It truly was and is a holy week. So let's read how Holy Week begins with Palm Sunday. Hopefully you've turned there now. Luke chapter 19, verses 29 to 30. And when he, Jesus, drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on it, they sat Jesus on it. And as Jesus rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawn near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees and the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" It's a powerful passage for Palm Sunday. And today, the main idea that I want you walking away with is this. Don't complicate it. For the danger of oversimplifying, this is the message I want you to hear today. Don't complicate it. In this room and downstairs, would you please say this with me? Don't complicate it. Don't complicate it. 3 points as we dive into today's message. Don't complicate his word. Don't complicate our worship. And don't complicate your witness. 3 points. Let's pray and then we'll begin. Would you pray with me? Father God, as we begin Holy Week, we acknowledge our need of the Holy Spirit to be present with us here and now. Father, we pray that you would illuminate this passage in our hearts today by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to see the power of the gospel, the beauty of your truth. Help us to know how to love you more and more. And Father, be with us as we prepare to celebrate Easter, where our King and Savior shows that he was more true than anyone else. It's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, so the first point, don't complicate his will. The first section of our passage is where we're going to draw this out. Listen, I said I don't want to oversimplify anything here, but I don't think that's the danger for us. The danger for us is complicating what is clear. Our passage starts with an interaction between Jesus and two of his disciples. He gives them a simple task with a simple message, and they go and do it. But maybe let's see what would happen if we took out those two disciples and replace them with two, let's say, I don't know, reformed Christians. I wonder how that passage would play out. All right, hey guys, so we're going to be entering in for the triumphal entry, Jesus pulls his disciples aside and says, all right, guys, what I need you to do is there's a couple towns up ahead. Just run there real quickly. Grab a colt. You'll see it. It's there. No one's ever ridden on it. Bring it back to me, and I will ride it. If anyone comes to you, guys, here's what I want you to say. The Lord has need of it, okay? So if the owner comes up or someone tries to stop you, this is what you say. The Lord has need of it. You got that, guys? We got it, Jesus. We're good Reformed Christians. We took our notes. We studied it. We even translated it from the original language. We're good to go. We got what you said. We spent time in our quiet time in our devotion studying your word. The Lord has need of it. Got it. We'll do that. Okay, that was a bit much, but go ahead and go do it. So they run into town, these two disciples, and they look around and they think, okay, what were we supposed to do again? Oh yeah, look for a colt. Okay, let's see. Hey, there's a colt. It looks like no one's ever ridden on that thing. Do you think that's what we're supposed to get? I don't know. Is that the one we're supposed to get? I don't know. He said it was supposed to be a colt. No one's ever ridden on him, and that's one. Do you think that's the one we should bring to him? I don't know. We need to hurry, so let's just do this one. So they go to get the colt. Someone comes up to him. Hey, guys, what are you doing with that colt? Jesus said this was going to happen. What were we supposed to say again? What were we supposed to do? Yeah. How much do you want for the colt? See, I think we overcomplicate it. Go get a colt. Bring it back. If someone comes up to you, you say this. We read what Jesus tells us to do, and we go and do it. And when the world comes up, we say this. Jesus saves. Jesus says in verse 31, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. That's verse 31. Verse 34, and they said, the Lord has need of it. You shall say this, the Lord has need of it. And they said, the Lord has need of it. See how simple that is? You shall say, and they said. You shall go, and they did. The disciples didn't complicate it. Peace Church, we shouldn't complicate his will. His commands are actually crystal clear. As a pastor, one of the most common questions I get from people who sit across from my desk is this, and it's odd because it's not really a question, but it kind of is, and you know what I mean when you hear it. They'll say to me, I don't know what God wants me to do. They'll be in a predicament, they'll be in a situation, they'll have an opportunity, and they'll say to me, I don't know what God wants me to do. In all of these, I want to say to them, well, don't complicate it. Don't complicate it. True, sometimes it's not so simple, but actually, a lot of the times, it is. Has there been brokenness and unfaithfulness in your marriage? Well, go back to your vows and tell me what you promised each other and what you promised God. Because I bet there's a promise about being together through thick and thin and for better or for worse. Is there a job opportunity and you don't know if you should take it? Ask this. Is this move about you getting more or about God getting more of you? Do you have an unruly child and you don't know how to parent? Well, the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Can I get an amen? Hold on a second. Let me clarify that one. The Bible, this is a proverb, right? Not a command. This is a principle. And within that, the context is about loving discipline, not physically abusing children. Or there's someone lost in sin that you know of. You encounter them on a regular basis. Maybe you see them at the bank. Maybe you work with them. Maybe they're a family member. You know someone lost in sin without Jesus. You know what you're supposed to do. Peace Church, don't complicate his will. If this person is in your life or crosses your path, then walk up to them and invite them to church. Don't complicate it. In fact, you know what? I'm going to show you how easy this is. You see, we have these things on the seats here, and it's an invite. And we want you to take these. See, we put one on every single seat, so we made sure you got one. And this is what you do with it. Case, you pick on me all the time, so I'm going to pick on you. Hey, brother, at Peace Church, we have 3 services on Easter. I'd love if you'd join me for one of them. See how easy that was? See how easy that was? Hey guys, Easter's coming up next week. We have three different services in the morning. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna have donuts. Be my guest. Would you come with me that day? See how easy this is, people? Don't complicate it. Go untie a colt and bring it to me. If someone encounters you, say this. Peace Church, you've got invites all around here. Go invite somebody. Now, I'm not Jesus commanding you to do this, but I know there's an opportunity for somebody to hear the gospel next Sunday, and I don't want you to miss that opportunity. See how easy it is? Don't complicate it. What is God's will for your life? To love God and your neighbor as yourself. To raise your children in the knowledge of the Lord, putting that above everything else. To go and share the gospel. To do and say what he's told us to do and say without complicating it. I think oftentimes when people say, I don't know what God wants me to do, most of the time that's really fear in them speaking. And what they're really saying is, I know what God wants me to do. I just don't know if I have the strength or the desire to do it. Most of the time, knowing what God wants is easy. Doing what he wants is hard. So don't complicate his will. The Spirit will guide you when you walk in obedience. Don't complicate his word, his will. Don't complicate our worship. Let's read these three verses again, 36 to 38. Would you follow along with me? And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawn near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The people were rejoicing and praising. This means that as they were worshiping, they were proclaiming these truths, that Jesus is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Let me ask you, we just read it. Why were they worshiping? You just read that. Why were the people worshiping? Luke tells us it was for all the mighty works they had seen. They proclaimed, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he, the King, who comes in the name of the Lord." They were worshiping for what they had seen and who they had seen. They had seen Jesus doing miracles. They were worshiping for who he was and what he has done. And our passage says that they were doing this with a loud voice. In the original language, it's this beautiful. It's phone megale, megaphone. Now, they didn't actually have megaphones, of course, but that's the imagery I want you to hear. That's how loud it was. It was a mega voice, a megaphone. With a mega voice, they were praising Jesus. But people, they only knew half of it. Think about where we are in the history in human history. Jesus hadn't died on the cross yet. He hadn't risen from the dead yet. They only knew half of it. We, here, today, we have the full revelation of Scripture speaking to all that Jesus had done. The Bible. We have the historical event of the resurrection behind us. We know more than they did about who Jesus fully and truly is. How much louder should our voices be? As a church, what I'm telling you is this. Don't complicate our worship. Let's not, all of us, complicate our worship. It's not about the song. It's about who we're singing to. It's not about what we look like. It's about who we look to. And it's not about our preference. It's about his glory. Because what he's done and who he is makes him and him alone worthy of our worship. So let's not complicate it. As a church, let's worship together. And lastly, don't complicate your witness. Don't complicate your witness. By witness, if you're not familiar with that terminology, it's kind of Christian slang. Let me explain it for you. By witness, I mean the integrity of your life and your testimony based on what you've witnessed in your Christian faith. See, my witness is how I live in light of what I know God has done for me. That's my witness. I don't want to complicate my witness by living in sin or being a bad example out in the world. I want to be a witness to what I've seen and heard and live in response to that. Just as a witness brings a testimony to a court hearing, that's kind of how it works, except we do that with our lives. Do our lives bear witness that Jesus is alive in us? See, we are witnesses of God's faithfulness, Christ's sacrifice, and the Spirit's power. And because of this, we share our testimony, what we've seen and heard, with others. This past Monday night, after the deacon's meeting, I went home. And I know Monday's distant memory, but do you know what I watched when I got home? Well, what big thing happened on Monday night? The conclusion of March Madness. That's right. College basketball men's finals. Now, I'm not a huge fan of sports. I like to know how the Tigers are doing. That's about it. But I watched the NCAA finals on Monday, and I was reminded about something in sports as I watched that game. It was a great game, by the way. I was reminded of something. If you want to know how a team is doing during a game, just look to the fans. Their faces will tell you everything. So let's practice for a moment. I'm going to show you some fan faces. You tell me their team is winning or losing. Just say winning or losing. Ready? Oh, it's a Michigan fan. I didn't realize that when I made the slide. Winning or losing? Losing. Let's try it again. Oh, another Michigan fan. Winning or losing? Losing. Losing, I guess. This next one is great. I don't know if you can tell, Philadelphia is being whomped by Dallas. If you want to know if a team is winning or losing, just look to the fans. I think you know where I'm going with this. What goes for a sports fan goes for a church congregation. Their faces will tell you everything. Over 10 million people watched the March Madness finals as Virginia beat Texas Tech. But the entire world is looking to the church to see if our faces show that we actually believe this. I'll be honest, I watched faces this morning. Kids get on stage and your face is lit up. Praise God for that. Let's celebrate the next generation. Let's love them and let's lead them into a love and knowledge of the Lord. But you can't do that if we're not setting the example for them. It's not your preference in worship. Praise be to God, it's not about us. He's worthy for us to sing songs that we don't like in his honor. Listen, for the 13 years from high school to the time I graduated seminary, yes, I worked in the local church, but to help supplement income, I also worked in retail. 13 years I worked in retail. And every single day I worked in retail, do you know what they told me? Ryan, a smile is part of your uniform. Nobody hates fake smiling more than me. 13 years I was told it every day I went to work. A smile is part of your uniform. I'm not saying come here and fake it. I am saying come here and be engaged. The risen King is alive. How can we not worship? Our passage says something about this that I think, man, it's just so challenging. This parade happens, and these people are worshiping, and they're praising Jesus. And these Pharisees come up to Jesus, and they say, tell them to stop it. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Do you see what's happening here? The disciples are worshiping Jesus, and people take notice. They were worshiping, and people take notice. Fellow Christians, have a faith that gets noticed. Not because you're good, but because he is good. I would rather be told to be quiet about Jesus than to never speak up for him. Here's how we complicate it. We say, I would rather people know that I'm a Christian by how I live. I don't actually have to say his name and risk offending people. Romans 10 says, how can they believe without hearing about him? Church, we must say the name of Jesus. Can you imagine if my wife said to me, I'm not going to tell people about you. I'm just going to live like I'm married to you. You know, I would seriously question my wife's love for me at this moment. I'll be honest with you right now. I wonder what the risen Savior thinks when we say that same thing or when we don't say anything. Jesus says in Matthew 10:32, everyone who will acknowledge me before others, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. I know this is hard, but it shouldn't be. Who's done more for you than him? I know this is hard, but it shouldn't be. Who is more wonderful than Jesus? See, you don't have to be the lawyer. You just have to be the witness. Let the Spirit change people's hearts. You just make sure you say the name of Jesus in your testimony. Don't complicate it. Don't complicate his word or his will. Don't complicate our worship. Come and worship the risen King. And don't complicate your witness. Live for him. Peace Church, Jesus says, if we're quiet, the stones will cry out. This past week, while it was still somewhat spring, I cleared a couple trees from my yard, and this rock came up as I was digging out some trees. And knowing that I was going to be preaching this message, I held on to this rock, and I wondered, does this rock do a better job of worshiping than I do? Ask you yourself that. Is this rock more satisfied to worship Jesus than you are? Because if we're quiet, then all of creation is going to sing out. Also, when I worked in retail, you know what they told me? Don't let your manager do your job. Don't let someone else do your job. If you are busy and someone's doing what you should be doing, drop what you're doing and go and return to your job. Don't let someone else do your job. We know that sentiment very well here in West Michigan, don't we? We don't let other people do our jobs. Don't let this rock do your job. Don't let this rock enjoy worship in the ways that you should be enjoying worship. We're going to respond in song. Peace Church, don't complicate it. Don't complicate it. It doesn't matter what you've done. Repent and believe, and you will be welcomed as a son or daughter. It doesn't matter what is happening. Jesus says, come to him, and he will give you rest. Peace Church, men, I'm calling on you. Lead us now. See, Paul says he wants men everywhere to lift up holy hands. Peace Church, the resurrected one is resurrecting us. He's bringing us from death to life, from hell to heaven, from sin to glory. You're not perfect, but you are holy, being made holy. And I don't want you to fake worshiping, but I do want you to be engaged. If you're hurting, express that to him. If you're happy, then give it to him. Even if you don't feel like it, let God know that in worship. And if you're ready to respond, then respond in a way that Jesus would defend. Peace Church, the resurrected one is resurrecting us. Let's stand now and let's have a mega voice as we worship him.